Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On Air with Russell of Hotels, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to On Air with Russell of Hotels, where we talk about everything hospitality, from hotels to influencers and everything in between. We will feature guest interviews with hospitality professionals who will share their experiences. Your host, Russell Edmond, has spent over 25 years in the hospitality industry, beginning his career with Marriott International in hotel operations, before moving into the sales arena and becoming a relationship-building director of sales and marketing. Russell then went to the other side as a hospitality entrepreneur. He now consults in the hotel and meeting space, which includes being the CEO of Russell of Hotels Group. Did I mention he was a veggie foodie? Yes, Russell is always looking for good non-meat eats. Please welcome your host, Russell Edmond.
Hello, and thank you for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels, Hospitality Unplugged. Excuse me, hashtag Hospitality Unplugged. Hope all is well. Hope you guys are doing well. Hope your week has been good. I know it's only Tuesday, right? But that doesn't mean your week cannot be going either well or not as well, right? But we want to... Oh, you want to make sure you turn that down a little bit. We have a guest today, and she's trying to put her put everything on Facebook. She's trying to share it on Facebook, and it was a little loud, and I heard it, so I just asked her to turn it down a little bit. So for people, you can still look at it. No. Look at it. Just turn the volume down. It's okay. So we have Marie Corey here today. She's gonna be our guest today, and we're going to talk to her a little bit about meeting planning and things like that. But we're going to get to her later, though, right? But go ahead and say hello, Marie.
Hello, Russell.
Marie, she's a little shy. She's a little nervous. We're going to get her out of that in a couple minutes, though. But of course, as before we get to her, you know, we always have some business to take care of. So I'm going to mute her for a second, and then I'm going to go through the show, the things that we do. So like I said, hopefully everything is good. Your week has been going well. I want to thank you for joining me today, especially the people on Facebook Live. The people, maybe you didn't know Facebook Live was even an option. You can go to Facebook, your Facebook page, and then type in LA Talk Radio, and then scroll and look for Russell Hotels, and you'll see us. Click on that. And then that's where we'll be. So if you want to do that, or you can just listen to us on www.latalkradio.com. It'd be more like not a podcast, but basically like a radio. You don't see the video. You just hear the audio. So however you want to do it, it's fine with me. But anyway, today is Tuesday. Today is Taco Tuesday, right? But today I'm not making tacos today because I have another appointment after today. So I'm not going to be able to rush home and do my vegan tacos today. So maybe I have to do Taco Wednesday. I don't know. But anyway, I'll keep posted at that. But guess what? Last night, not to go off any tangent, but I made, and I've done this before, but I don't think I've shared it with you before. You know, I'm big on vegan stuff, right? So I made, you're familiar with eggplant parmesan? Eggplant parmesan, you understand? Yeah, you got that right, Marie. Well, I made eggplant no parmesan, okay? So eggplant no parmesan, meaning I don't have any cheese on it, although I can get the vegan cheese or whatever, but it just tastes just as good without the cheese at all. So did the eggplant and then you with tomato sauce or whatever, have herbs and spices and all that kind of stuff in it. So man, it was good. So in fact, it was, you know, people ate it before I even put it down. I mean, it was already eaten before I can even dish it up. You know what I mean? So it must have been good. So at least the family enjoyed it. So anyway, like I said, hope everything is well. What is Hospitality Unplugged? When I say Hospitality Unplugged, people always say, what does that mean, Hospitality Unplugged? That means I can say whatever the heck I want to say about the hospitality industry and get away with it. No, that is just a joke. That just means we do cross some boundaries, but we don't say anything that's out of the ordinary. You know, if I don't like something about a particular hotel, I'll mention, I don't necessarily have to mention a hotel, but I'll mention, you know, I didn't like the service, I didn't like this, and this is why. But like I said, I won't ever mention anybody's name or that specific hotel. Maybe not even that city. I don't know. It just may be just my experience at one particular hotel, because we all have different experiences, right? So that's what Hospitality Unplugged means to me. But we talked to everybody. We talked to meeting planners, which Marie is. And Marie was kind of hesitant when I asked her. I said, why don't you come on the show? She said, well, won't I be, am I not competing with you? I'm like, no, you're not, Marie. I mean, we're both entrepreneurs. We're both trying to do, you know, things within the industry, right? We both started, you know, in hotels like a lot of meeting planners have, and kind of, you know, start our own business and things like that. So no, because we all have our different network of or circle of people that we deal with. So is it competition? I don't look at it like that. I look at it as, you know, because Marie calls me, I call her, we bounce things off of each other. So you always want to have that circle of people that are doing similar things that you're doing. And you may hit a roadblock on something. Maybe she has issues with C-Vent. She may ask me, hey, what do you think about C-Vent? What do you think about this feature of C-Vent? And I say, well, you know, you can do this, you can do that. You can maneuver this way, you can maneuver that way. So, you know, I think it's it reminds me of this this African proverb that Amani Roberts shared with me. And Amani Roberts was a guest with, you know, I don't know, several months ago now. But it said, If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. So we both want to go far in our businesses, right? So sometimes we have to bounce things off each other. You know, sometimes we have to humble ourselves sometimes, and we have to say, hey, you know, I need some help, or maybe let's just ask, or maybe you don't even have to humble yourself. Maybe you just want to know something that, you know, we don't know everything, right? So that's why we have like-minded people here. We're all trying to get the same thing. And Marie and I used to work together with another meeting planning firm several years ago, but we won't even get into that. So, but we still managed to be, you know, good friends, and we do still work together. And then now it's all about collaboration, right? So, and Marie has more international experience than I have. Well, she has tons of international experience. I have zero. So when it comes to that point where I'm doing international meetings, guess who would be the first person I call and ask, you know, how do I do this? How do I do that? It would be Marie. So, and we'll get into that. We'll get into that. So in some industry news, Hilton Honors reaches their 100th million member.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
Wow.
I'm sure Marriott has, I don't know, probably 200 million, but that's okay. We're talking about Hilton right now. Hilton Honors reaches 100 million members. That's pretty good. My next thing is, top 10 hotel companies among two. What am I writing here? Top 10 hotel companies with the best employers for diversity. This 2019. So meaning they take into account, you know, it's good to be diverse, to have diversity within their team, within their company, within their hotels. And guess who's number one? Guess who will be number one, Marie?
Hilton.
No, Marriott, come on.
I don't want to say the name out loud right now.
The M word. It's a bad word, the M word. No, it's not. We both started with Marriott, right?
Well, I didn't start, but yeah, I worked for
them. We both work with Marriott.
Yeah.
Okay. So Marriott's number one. Hyatt is number two. IHG is number three.
Oh.
Choctaw Casinos and Resort is number four. Choice Hotels, number five. Aspen Skiing Company is number six. I don't know where they get these numbers from or who's doing the rating. Kempton Hotels, number seven. Hilton is number eight.
Wow.
MGM, number nine. Drury Hotels, number 10. Hmm. Now, there was more than 10, but I said, you know, I'm just going to do the top 10. You know, I'm not going to do, I think it was maybe 14 hotels. I said, you know, I'm going to stop at 10 because these are the ones that we want to take notice of. So Marriott's always number one in whatever they do for whatever reason. So there you go. So those are the top 10 hotels 2019 as far as diversity. And that means, you know, inclusion, taking everybody into account, you know, your nationality, your background, you know, whatever. So that's what that is. The next thing, and I got this from, I was looking at LinkedIn yesterday, and a gentleman by the name of Rupesh Patel. He's like he's a hotel owner, but he always writes these things that are, you know, that make me think like, oh, this is pretty good. So I'm gonna share this, if that's okay, Rupesh Patel. in fact, yesterday I when I saw it, I said, hey, good information. Thanks for sharing, you know, that kind of thing. He said, he thanked me. So I didn't tell him I was going to put it on the show today, but hey, there you go. So thanks, Rupesh. I appreciate it. So it's 10 things to do when your hotel is slow. So people that have been GMs or director of operations or whatever kind of attest to some of these things. Number one, train your staff, meaning you can cross train them in slow times. You know, you can, someone works at the front desk, maybe they want to work in the restaurant. Maybe, you know, that's a good time to do some cross training. Renovate, not extensive renovation, because I would hope that your hotel is not slow, you know, most of the time, right? So we're not talking major renovation, but maybe we need to replace that lobby carpet or some furniture, and that would be kind of a soft renovation, or maybe some painting, you know, things like that, or maybe redo the restaurant or something like that. Catch up on a PM program. Now, who knows what a PM program is? That's called preventive maintenance. So PM stands for preventive maintenance. So, you know, you got housekeeping staff that cleans the room, but they only clean, you know, they change the bedding, they vacuum the floor, they clean the bathroom, stuff like that. But if there are like stains in the carpet, unless it's major where they need to call, you know, the engineering department come in and do that. But there's certain things that get done during the PM, meaning they go through, say if it's an AC unit, they go through that thoroughly. They change, you know, the vents and all that stuff in there. Maybe, you know, smoke detectors to make sure they're checking that. TVs, maybe they're going to upgrade the TVs or whatever. The shears or the drapes or the blinds, they're going to clean those things out. See, those things are not normally done every day, right? So there's things that they have to do that are called PM or a general clean or something like that. So that'd be a good time to do that as well. Double down on local marketing. You know, call what's in your backyard. And this is more for salespeople. So, you know, your local marketing, what's in your backyard? You know, you remember that? We'll say, what's your backyard? You know, what companies are in your backyard? What organizations? Maybe you're focusing outbound. I mean, outside of, say this, like this. You get your hotel, you draw a circle around it, and you go 5-mile radius. That's your backyard, right? From your hotel to 5 miles out, either way. That's your backyard. You should always be doing that anyway, at the very minimum. But a lot of people lose track of what's in your backyard, and they'll go outside. They may be outside of the city. Who knows? But maybe that's a good time. If the hotel's slow, you can see what's going on in your local market and try to get business that way. Get creative. Like water bottles. I have a water bottle in my hand. Put the guest name on the water bottle. And then when he checks in, hey, Mr. Edmund, thank you for joining. And, you know, thank you for coming back. We appreciate your business. Here's a bottle of water. And I look at it and it has my name on it. Welcome, Russell Edmund. That would blow me away, right? Would that blow you away, Marie?
It would.
You check into a hotel and say, Miss Corey, here's a bottle of water for you. And you just happen to look at it.
Great idea.
See, wouldn't that be good?
Yeah,
see, I'm just full of ideas. Or thanks, Rupesh. I appreciate you. I'll take credit for it, but it was his idea. Operational savings. You know, we all, when we're hotel departments, you know, they all buy things, you know, independent of each other. Maybe if you went together and bought, like, say, is Cisco still around? Cisco company? Yeah. Okay. Let's say Cisco. Cisco's a company that they do food. They do everything. They sell everything, right? Maybe you weren't going through Cisco. Maybe just one department was going through Cisco. Maybe you can collaborate with other departments, get better pricing if you went to the same company for the same things you've been ordering, right? So that's what that means. Do inventory. Maybe you're out of supplies and you don't even know. So go through your inventory. Make sure you have enough guest supplies for when it does get busy. Payroll efficiencies. And that goes back to cross training as well. You know, you got you're coded twice. Like, say I'm working the front desk and I work in the restaurant as well, so I'm coded twice. So, which means I can work in either department and do well, blah, 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 whatever. There you go. Keep learning. Listen to podcasts like On Air with Russell of Hotels, right? And learn something. Learn about meeting planning and learn about, you know, the hot buttons for certain meeting planners or what we don't like about hotels or maybe what hotels don't like about us. I don't know. Anything. Improve your reviews. You know, it has to do with, you know, TripAdvisor and all this kind of stuff. That's a time to go and respond to those, you know, the issues that, or maybe not issues, maybe they were good reviews. You want to thank people for that. And what about this? Personalized business cards for the whole staff. Like front desk, everyone has their own business card. Because, you know, you always talk to guests like, well, they forget who you are. But if you had a business card, I'm Russell Edmond, front desk, you know, associate, you know, give us a call, blah, blah, blah. If you need something, this is my name and number. Give me a call. I mean, it's the number at the front desk, not my cell phone, my personal cell phone number, but it's the number at the front desk or the hotel number. But how many times you walk away and you say, oh, my name is George. And, you know, and by the time you got to the get to your room and something's not working, you forget the guy's name or the girl's name. So if you had a card, they presented you with a card. Oh, if you have any issues at all, Mr. Evan, please don't hesitate to give me a call. My name is George. Okay, get there. Oh, shoot. George, the lights aren't working. You know, send somebody. So there you go. So it's all about personalization, if you will. So contact information. How do you contact Russell of Hotels or Russell? I'm Russell. I'm the Russell of Hotels. But anyway, how do you contact me? My email, russell@russellofhotels.com. Twitter, Russell of Hotels. IG, Russell of Hotels. LinkedIn, Russell L. Edmond. Facebook, I have two pages, Russell L. Edmond and Russell of Hotels. And I have a website. You can see exactly what I do. I'm going to tell you what I do, but you can, if you forget, you can go to russellofhotels.com and you can check out what I do. Show will be on iTunes after here. I mean, let me back up. This is a live show. So if I'm messing up, I can't, there's no take two, right? I'm like, you know, Marie's not in her place, so we have to back up. And now Marie's here. Now we can go with the show. No. Marie's here and we're not doing any take twos, right? So if she says something wrong, she cusses at me, we're not, there's no take twos, okay? So this is it, okay? But after the show's over, it becomes a podcast. So you can listen to it on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you listen to your favorite, you know, podcast, you can find us. And it's always educational. That's what we try to do. You know, On Air at Russell of Hotels is all about education. We're trying to kind of get people here that talk about what they do, their rise from where they started to where they are, you know, and everything in between. We want to talk about that because everybody has a different story, right? Marie's story you're going to hear is different from Russell's story, okay? Which is different than Dave's story who I had on a couple of weeks ago. So everyone had a different story how they got here. And that's how I started the show. That was the whole premise for the show was basically, what can I do a little different? You know, and I came up with, you know, I'm gonna do a radio show. What the heck? You know, got out of my comfort zone and just said, you know what? I'm gonna do it. I'm just gonna go for it. So that's what I did. So sponsorship opportunities. If you want to come on the show, be a sponsor, you can. Just like Marie. If you're on Facebook Live, you see Marie's company right there. It's called Meetings Collective. It even has a little tagline on it too. It says, "We drive the change." And I don't know what the heck that means, but guess what? I got Marie right here, and we're going to find out what the heck that means. We drive the change, so you better be ready, because I got some questions for you.
Okay.
So she was asking me before the show, like, and this is, you know, for sponsorships and things like that, who are my target audience? And I told her, I said, basically, 50-50 is what I say. 50 hospitality people, and that made up of hotel, food and beverage operations, CVBs, tourism boards, meeting planners, things like that. And then you have that end user for hotels or for our services, meeting planning services. You have, you know, corporate, you know, directors or CEOs, CFOs, COOs. You have all those people that need our services, meaning they need meeting planning services. They need hotel services. You know, they travel, they do all these things. So there's nonprofit, there's for profit, there's corp, there's association, there's everything around the board that people that listen to the show. I talk to them quite frequently. They, you know, they come and say, hey, what is this all about? Blah, 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 blah. Like, how can you help me? Da, 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 da. So that's the people that are listening to the show. Who are the feeder cities? Feeder cities, L.A., Orange County. Orange County is a county, but it's made up of some major cities like Anaheim, you know, Irvine, Costa Mesa, Newport, you know, Huntington. So those are kind of some of the cities that are represented in that OC. But it's OC or Orange County for the most part. So L.A., Orange County, San Francisco, Chicago, and New York. So those are the people. And then as far as I have listeners from the Bahamas, Jamaica, and then in the Philippines and the U.K. Wow. So those are some of the people that listen to On Air with Russell of Hotels. You didn't know that, did you, Mary?
I did not know that. You didn't tell me that out there.
Well, because we got sidetracked, I'm sure. But so those are the things that, you know, we're talking about sponsorship. You always want to make sure, you know, I throw that stuff in there as well. So those people listen. And then you can do it, you know, get your message to the right people, special promos, career opportunities, advertising for your brand. You know, if you have any of those things, you want to do any of those things, just contact me, russell@russellofhotels.com. There you go. So what is the Russell of Hotels group? I do business development. That's one thing. I mentioned several weeks ago, I had a new partnership with Broughton Hotels. Broughton Hotels is actually based in Anaheim, which is in Orange County. So they have 15 hotels and they're trying to grow their brand of hotels or their management management contracts. So they have 15 now. Let's say they want to double by the end of 2020. So my job is to go out there and find hotel owners that need management companies. So I'm trying to marry those two together. I want to be that go-to person, like anything in hospitality. Let's call that Russell of Hotels and he'll make it happen somehow. That's what I want to be. I want to be the godfather of hotels. That was a good one. Made Marie laugh. Made her chuckle. So there you What else? Oh, boy, I'm losing it. What else does Russell Hotels do? Hotel site selection. Okay, so like Marie, I have companies, organizations that ask me to find hotels for them, for their meetings, for the events, things like that. So my job is to go out and find those hotels through RFPs, you know, a request for proposal, send out a request for proposal, meaning the hotel's going to send me a proposal back and it's going to have, you know, rates, dates, and space for the most part. And then from there, say I get, I don't know, 10 responses. I share those with my client and then together we go through them and then we talk about what's the best fit for their particular program. Price, you know, everything. Price, not just room rate, but maybe food and beverage and things like that as well. Parking. I mean, all those things play a big role into that. So that's what I do. So I go out and help them. And it's up to them to make that decision. But it's my job to bring the best hotels that I think that are good for their particular program. So all programs are different. All hotels are different. So I try to make sure that I match the, you know, the program with the hotel, if that makes any sense at all. So it can be independent hotels. Didn't have to be brands. In fact, I'm always making sure I throw non-branded or independent hotels in the mix, right? So some people will just throw in all brands, all Hiltons, all Marriott's, all IHG. No. If there's independents, indie hotels, what I like to call them. If there's indie hotels out there, they're going to get thrown in the mix too. Because I used to work for two indie hotels. So I know the pain they go through with not having the big sales force and the big name out there. So they need help. So that's what I'm here to do. I'm here to help. Who's on blast? Oh, I'm sorry. And then I'm a radio show host on air at Russell of Hotels. And I interview today's hospitality professionals like I'm going to do today. So, okay. So who's on blast? Real quick. Brian Churchill, VP LA Tourism. You're on blast. Still on blast, Brian. Been on blast for a while. Come on. Let's get you off blast, Brian. Come on. Let's make it happen. Carol Motley, a.k.a. CMOT, Director of Convention Sales, Destination D.C., Luis Torres, Universal Studios, Stephanie Corsino, Hong Kong Tourism, and Sam Thompson and Matt Diamond with Sync Meeting Management. Now, Sam, you told me probably, I don't know if it was at IMAX or before that, that you'd be on the show. But, you know, I know you're busy. You've been in Hawaii and all this and that. You've been around the world. But hey, we still need you on the show. You still said you're going to be on the show. So get yourself off the list and call me. For people that don't have Facebook Live, I just took a drink of water because I'm talking too much. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce Miss Marie Corey, owner, founder of Meetings Collective. And her tagline is, "We drive the change." So, like I said, I worked with Marie. It's been probably 4 years.
More, maybe.
Maybe more than that? Okay. All right. But, you know, we kind of connected, you know. Well, now, you were kind of tough at first. I have to admit. You were kind of tough. I remember meeting you, and it was in Rolling Hills. It was near Palos Verdes or Torrance. The first meeting that we had was at a Starbucks.
Oh, probably Torrance.
It was in Torrance?
I think so.
Off of, is it Hoffa?
I don't recall.
You don't even remember. See,
I don't even remember.
Okay, all right. Never mind. Maybe it was somebody else. Anyway, I remember meeting you, and then we were going, because I just started with that other company.
Oh, yes. I think it was at the Marriott in Torrance, wasn't it?
No, it was at Starbucks.
Okay. Well, now I remember that.
On Hawthorne Boulevard.
I recall you coming in and meeting you for the first time. I do recall.
Okay. Obviously, I didn't make a big impression because she can't even remember it. But that's okay. That's all right. But anyway, we managed to keep in touch. We managed to stay friends. So despite all the other stuff that was going on. But anyway, I want to introduce Marie. Thank you. I want to welcome you to the show, On Air with Russell of Hotels.
Thank you, Russell. I really appreciate being invited to speak today. Thank you so much.
Of course. Of course. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be fun. So loosen up a little bit, okay?
Am I still tough? That's what I wanted to ask now.
Yes, you can be.
Oh.
You can be. So before we get into it, I have a whole line of questions here,
oh,
Marie.
No.
So hopefully you're ready for these. We drive the change. What does that mean? Let's just start with that, okay?
Okay.
What Meeting Collective, how long have you had this company, and what does We Drive the Change mean?
Well, I think officially we've been a company, Meetings Collective has been up and running for about 3 months. I've started to get everything together.
Okay.
My website went up maybe about a month ago, and it's still not complete. It's up.
Never is.
I mean, really, there's things missing. But the concept, I'd been thinking about this, especially since the hotels, the larger chains, cut commissions for meeting, third party. Yeah, you heard of that, didn't you? So when they cut the commissions to 7%, it was like, okay, how do we find other ways to do business? Because the way we're doing business right now and what we do, we're an important role. But my feeling about the whole 7% cut, I understand it on the business side for the hotel chains to say, hey, to the owners, we're giving you back in your pocket 3% of the group business. So, and from my understanding, Marriott paid out, and I don't know for a fact, but this is what I have heard, in 2017 or 2018, $2 billion in third party commissions. Now, I don't know if that includes group and individual reservations, but think about that.
Mm-hmm.
3%,
That 3% accounts for that $2 billion you said?
No, that's what they paid out in commissions.
Oh, total.
So total. So just think about 3% out of that total. That's a heck of a savings that they're...
Yeah, I guess that... Well, is that still fair?
Is it still fair? Well,
yeah.
Well, to the owners who pay a lot of money, obviously I worked for Marriott for 10 years. I think Russell and I, our paths might have crossed at some point, but again, I don't remember.
That's okay, Marie. That's okay.
But they basically have, it's a high cost to do business with Marriott. And I think with Marriott buying Starwood and now having 30 brands, they're pretty much covering the market and can call the shots. And that's exactly what they did.
Yeah, for people that don't know that are just joining in, we're talking about, I'm talking to Marie Corey, first of all, founder of Meetings Collective, based in Long Beach, right?
I'm in Long Beach, yes.
Okay, so we're talking about, she's talking about the commission breakdown, meaning, has it been a year, 2 years ago now?
Yeah, but I think
it's almost 2 years ago that Marriott first, three hotel chains have done this, but Marriott was the first one, meaning they cut the commissions to third-party planners. Like, we're third-party planners, right? As a meeting planner, that's what we're considered, third-party planners. So originally, the commission breakdown was 10%. So you get 10% of all the room revenue that you brought to that particular hotel in the form of a group, which is 10 rooms or more, like I always say. Well, they cut that by 3%, so meaning now we only get 7%. So what Marie was just saying that she heard this. We're not sure. I'll have to do some research to make sure these numbers are right. But you said $2 billion? So Marion was...
I don't know if that's just
group. Was it 1 or 2 billion?
It was two.
$2 billion that they may have been paying out in commission. We're not sure, but it's some estimate. We're saying it's an estimate of $2 billion that they were paying. It could have been out to third-party planners. It could be out to OTAs as well. It could be...
Travel agents,
travel agents. It can be any of those people. That's still a lot of money, regardless if it's whatever it is. That's still a lot of money to pay out. So now they basically say, well, we're the leader, hotel leader. So we're gonna say, yeah, you know, we're only gonna give them 7% now. You know, so make up the other 3%.
Right. And when I worked for Marriott, they were talking about getting rid of the third party commission a long time ago, a really long time ago.
Wow.
So they wanted to do it what the airlines did. So, you know, we're talking about airline seats, and we're talking about groups of rooms with meeting space. It's a whole different ball game. Airlines were able to get rid of the commission. I don't know if that's going to work for the hotels, and also depending on the market and, you know, how strong the economy is, and when group business starts to get softer, you know.
Funny you should say that.
Yeah.
I was having a conversation with another third-party meeting planner just last week, and he said he thinks they're loosening up a little bit because they're offering more things than they were offering before because to make up, I don't know if it's to make up for the lack of the 3% or because things are becoming softer. Because at the end of the day, I mean, we're getting paid that commission because we're bringing business to them, right? So would they, my question is always, would they have gotten the business, meaning these hotels, would they have gotten the business without the help of a third party like ourselves? That's the question I always throw on the table.
Yeah. And I think it depends. There are clients out there that they strictly say, we want the points. We like Marriott. Mm-hmm. Here's our meeting. You know, you check the space. But
exactly.
Marriott was always trying to get the anyone who planned a meeting to go direct to them. And they have tried to do it as they do with the preferred hotel program for the individual, business travelers. So corporations get a preferred rate with Marriott Worldwide, and those business travelers must use a Marriott in order to get their expenses paid in return. Mm-hmm. You know, so Marriott wanted the same thing with group,
mm-hmm.
And the interesting part is that the finances for group business in these corporations, they're actually they're not in the travel and entertainment category. They're in the another category on their, in their budgets. So these, maybe it's an assistant or it's the head of sales and says, hey, we're going to have a sales meeting and we want to have somewhere special. And, you know, yeah, Marriott's on our program, but we don't want to go to Marriott. We want to have something remote. We want to have something nice. We want to have, you know, just kind of a change of pace. It's not a hotel that they go to for business travel all the time. So that hasn't been, corporations have not controlled that because it comes out of a different budget, the cost for a meeting. Well, interesting enough, with Marriott now having 30 brands, they're kind of, you know, that's a good way to kind of go about it because somebody's going to say, oh, you know, they've got the luxury hotel, they've got these boutique type hotels.
Yeah. And
so, you know, they're finding other ways to kind of corner the market. honestly, the clients that I have, that's not important. And I don't know about you. I have clients, if they're going to want to only work with Marriott, they don't need me. They can go direct to Marriott and work out the contract. But I find that Marriott is probably one of the most difficult companies to negotiate group rates with, because everything is on a in a computer, you know, on a screen with the rate, and they don't have to do anything to get the business. So you know
right,
this. So
right.
Anyway,
yeah.
my feeling about that all is there is a market for that. There's a market for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with Marriott, they don't have the salespeople in place like they used to. You don't have every property has their full sales staff anymore. They're all going into these regional offices or, you know, event booking centers for the smaller groups. So they have, I could be working, I'd be looking for space in New Orleans, and I check space at a Marriott, and I'm getting a response from somebody who's in Atlanta because they're handling the region.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have a say. They actually have to call, pick up the phone, and call the director of sales. But I have to push them to do that, because in their system, this is what they have available. This is what the rate is given, and there is no such thing as negotiating. You know, they're
correct.
Not. They're
just given. Basically, this is the rate, and
it's a directive, and you know what? If I don't take it, somebody else will, and that's the attitude has always been. So I'd be curious to see when the market softens. How?
Well, I've had this conversation, and I always said before when this was happening, I said there's always going to be value periods or
need dates,
things like that,
where
they're going to have to offer, not just Marriott, I mean everybody across the board, they're going to have to offer that 10% or even more, now more probably. So it just depends, or they're going to have to offer a bunch of points, you know, here's a 200,000 points or whatever,
right,
whatever the case may be.
Right.
So, I mean, I always said that, like I said, when this first happened, so... I mean, it's not surprising. I mean, it's like I said, I mean, Marriott does hold a lot of cards. I mean, you got 30 hotel brands. No matter where you go, there's more likely going to be a Marriott brand in that particular city or destination that you're trying to go. So to me, it's always about the client. I mean, I try not to, you know, I just need to book more business. I guess that's what
I guess that's what
it comes down to, or find other revenue streams to make up that 3%.
That's
right?
It. This
so,
is what I do.
So,
Thank you for bringing that around.
Bringing that back around.
Because I can go on about all this.
Oh, we don't need to. We beat that one to death, didn't we, people?
Well, listen, you know, I'm not here wanting to start the meetings collective as to fight the system. It's already done. There's nothing that can be done about it. But how can we do something to change the way business has been done before? And you and I both know we are independent meeting planners. There's a lot of third-party planners out there that work for larger organizations.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, they're tied to that. They don't have the they don't want to work alone. They don't feel that they might have the resources. They don't feel that. You know, they don't want to be negotiating their commission structure.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to me, these big organizations have their structure is so set in place, it's hard for them to change the way they've been doing business.
Okay.
So how I am looking at it is that I'm building a community of independent third-party planners that are, you know, working out of their home, and they have their set amount of clients. And it's like, how can we make things easier? How can we come together as a group to be able to make a difference for all of us? How do we find more income streams? So that is what I am creating. And that creating, it's like I feel like I want to find my tribe out there. And I know they're there, because I do talk to a lot of people, and I find basically I'm asking questions and I'm listening.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the big thing about the larger organizations that are out there, their contracts with the large organization is that they're giving away could be 40, 30, or 20% of their earned commissions over to that organization. to have their that business card, you know, their the company's name on mm-hmm. their business card. And why? What do they provide for them? They don't provide leads. They might have a sourcing manager. You know, it's like a system. Who do they go to for any problem solving? I don't think it's as easy because they're also very competitive with each other company, within yeah. the company. And I have heard people saying that they will have a client event. A large organization will have a client event, and you invite your clients, but you have somebody from the same organization trying to poach the client at their own event to say, hey, you know, why don't you work with me? You know, they're there because mm-hmm. somebody else has, you know, invited them. So I'm not about that. This isn't about trying to be competitive, trying to steal people's business. With me, it would be working as a member, being part of a community, and I would provide a service for them. So I have an IATA number. They can use that IATA number. It would be 100% of the commission that they earn, whether it's 7%, 10%, 12%, 15%. I don't care. They would get 100% of that commission. So I can do the accounting for them. If they have an IATA number, and this is things that I still, you know, the kinks to go on, maybe I would end up being in a different, I'd have different levels of a membership. Mm-hmm. for them to be part of all of this. I have, right now, I've got a resource available for incentives or for anybody, a group for airlines that I'd be able to offer them. They can use that and deliver it to their clients, a discounted rate for international air. This is where it is my strong suit, as like I do
enjoy. So you do airfare as well? Do you do airfare?
I will do. I have that right now with I have a new resource.
Did you do it before the resource?
I did not.
Okay.
So I have that. So they can. You can actually get really discounted group discounted airfare mm-hmm. for business and first class and premium international only.
Okay.
So there's an opportunity for you because of I want to say a net fare, but pretty much close to, could be up to 50% off of the regular fares that you find online.
Wow.
You can add whatever fee you would like onto that, and it still would be a discount to the end user.
Okay.
So that's another resource that you can do.
So what does it cost to be part of the meetings collective?
Oh, now you're jumping.
Well, I mean,
you're jumping.
It's only our show, Marie.
It's a good question. So right now, if you look on my website, which isn't done, I have a number there that says 9.
But there's a cost. I mean there's a cost.
Yes, so basically I charge a flat fee.
Okay. You don't have to tell me what that, like, they have to go, they can go to the site and figure that out.
The website is still not correct. It's still, you know, there's a number on there, but there is still things to change on that. But mm-hmm. it is basically a flat fee. So my services, I'd actually, if you want a sourcing manager, I'd have a sourcing manager. So I do your accounting, mm-hmm. You know, with the IATA number, pay you out, do the invoicing. Mm-hmm. I have right now a resource tool that most of us use, is Cvent. Mm-hmm. I could set you up on Cvent, but what I am also doing in the long run, we had a discussion about this yesterday, is that I am looking at opportunities to create my own resource tool that it would be available to everybody that's a member of Meetings Collective. So, and it would have the good things about Cvent and maybe additional things that they currently are not, it's just not working. And I talked to clients, I've talked to other third party, and I asked them, what do they think of Cvent? And 99% of the time they said, oh, I hate it. And, you know, then I ask them why, and then we get into a conversation. So I'm doing research. I am talking to investment, you know, it could be investment opportunities. The other thing that I'm also working on developing on my website, there will be a place for, an end user, anybody who has a group and wants to check space, they can check on that. So I could provide leads to the members as well. So I haven't had yet what the system would be, if it would be depending on where the client is based and, you know, where the members are based. in the beginning, I'd have to see where, you know, how to go about that, because it won't necessarily be that. I might have a lot of people here in Southern California and nobody on the East Coast, and it might be an East Coast client that says, oh, you know, I've heard about that. Basically, if you want to have a business card that says Meetings Collective, you can. But if you have your own company name and, you know, you have your clients, you can keep that. It's just saying, hey, we're, you know, you're a member of Meetings Collective.
A community.
You're part of Meetings Collective. There's other resources available. And again, everything is for a flat fee. So I'm not going to sit here and say, all right, you made $100,000 in commissions last year. Well, guess what? I want 10%. I want 20%. That's not what I'm doing. So as a resource, as you and I talk about, you pick up the phone and say, hey, Russell, I had this, I met somebody, and this is what they're doing, and, you know, I think it'd be great for you, kind of a thing. We're going to be doing the same thing. This is going to be for our group. I might have somebody who does full meeting planning. I don't do full meeting planning. You and I do, and I don't use the word site selection anymore. To me, it's global sourcing.
Global sourcing, you hear that? You heard it here first.
Yes, insightful global sourcing.
Global sourcing,
So basically, it would be if I have somebody who's a meeting planner, they need somebody a full service, then I could certainly say, oh, you know, one of my members is a, maybe one or two or three, and I can have them send you a quote. So there's another opportunity for leads. So it's kind of how do we help each other with opportunities that come up.
That's a good one. I like that. So that's what Meetings Collective is about. It's a group of independent third-party meeting planners or global sourcing, what'd you say?
Yeah, global sourcing professionals.
Professionals that come together and collaborate and try to make things bigger, better for us.
Yeah.
Right? Because the same things are happening with there's three companies that have a lot of meeting planners. And I'm not going to name those three because then I'll be giving them a boost or publicity, and I'm not trying to do that. So there's three big ones that we call them the big three. Let's just say that. So they have people that are part of their organization, but their commission breakdown is maybe half.
It depends on what they've negotiated.
Yeah, so it's different. So with Marie's organization, she's basically doing a flat fee. You still keep your commission. There's a flat fee. Is that a monthly, monthly fee?
Yeah.
And she'll do your accounting. You know, there's synergies built up with all the
exactly.
There's sourcing
resources.
So that sounds pretty good. So okay, so I got that. So how did you start in this business?
You really want to know?
Yeah.
My first job was working in a hotel at LA Airport, the Holiday Inn, as switchboard operator.
Okay.
I got that job in the summer right after I graduated from high school. And then I kept going. I was going to college and during the day, and then, you know,
at the Holiday Inn that's on the corner, like on
La Cienega and Century Boulevard.
Really?
Yes. And okay. that hotel at the time, there was none of these
Nothing
big
around?
Hotels
okay.
down. The Choice Hotel next door was there, a Quality Inn, and there was nothing down on La Cienega. So we were kind of on the tail end. But that hotel was, it was owned by Holiday Inn, and they had 100% occupancy started Sunday, and by Friday it was down to, you know, like 60%. But still, it was a cash cow for Holiday Inn.
Wow,
real cash cow.
I bet they wish it was still a cash cow.
No kidding, really. So I started as switchboard. I went to work for a short time in reservations. Moved up to front desk. I think in 2 weeks at the front desk, they made me a front desk supervisor in the morning. I think I get things quickly sometimes. Sometimes maybe a little bit too quickly. Then I moved to sales and catering, and so I was there for 3 years. So I really got, you know, to know all the ins and outs of hotels. And my office is right off the side of the office of the general manager, and the food and beverage director was on the other side. So I really got to see it all. Then I moved over to Hyatt Hotels. I was in their worldwide sales office for a few years. And from there on, pretty much most of my roles have been in global sales or worldwide sales offices.
Wow.
So it'd been a while since I'd been on property.
Now, you spent some time in Australia, right?
I did. I was working for Marriott in running their global sales office in Australia.
How long were you there?
Almost 4 years.
Wow. Yeah. And you actually lived in Australia?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah, I did.
Now, that was before the breakup of, and this is when salespeople were still on property when you?
Yes. Okay. Hey, don't make it like that old.
I heard about it. I don't remember, but I heard about it.
I know.
It.
No, yeah. Well, exactly. I wasn't working for one hotel. I was working for the global sales office. So okay. I was basically the big fish in the small pond. You know, okay. Australia has 33 million people. You know, we have, what, 330 million or plus. Wow. So, but we had a sales team. I had two salespeople. And then this in the same office was the Marriott Worldwide Reservations for Australia.
Okay.
And then also the Marriott Rewards at the time it was called. And that was for Asia Pacific. So there we were all three in this office space in Sydney. Mm. Yeah. It was very cool.
Wow. So from there, when did you start being a meeting planner?
I'm going to say, I don't know, 8 years, 9 years ago.
Okay.
Because after I left Marriott, I came back to the States. I worked at a hotel in Palm Springs for like 7 weeks, record-breaking 7 weeks I left. But that was, again, a hotel owner, and I don't mix, coming from Marriott, which is very structured.
Mm-hmm.
But I started to work, about 9 years ago with a former client of mine. She was an independent planner, mm-hmm. all by herself, and she wanted someone to come in and, you know, same thing. It's like you want to have, we're social, and mm-hmm. most of us are sales, we're social, but someone that we can talk about things and have help. She wanted somebody to start calling and helping her increase her business.
Okay.
So that's how, you know, I was able to come in and start calling her, you know, her former accounts and say, hey.
Okay. You know. Now, so, the company that you and I worked
briefly. Well, how 3 long, years for me, 3.5.
How long after you worked with that lady did you go over to that one?
I went over to the last one I was with. I've been with him since I left. So it was 3 years as well.
Okay.
So the only reason I moved is because the person who had his own company by himself, and I was an independent contractor, he took a job full-time in a hotel. So okay. I'm basically working alone again.
Oh, gotcha.
You know, gotcha. So it was kind of like, well, it's time for me to, first of all, to start on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the whole commission thought, I'm like, okay, how do I do this? How do I make, you know, other income? And then I know what it's like to be that independent planner that doesn't want to work alone.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't have the resources that, you know, you're calling one person you know and they help you out and so on. But it's much better when, you know, there's a group of you. Exactly. That's why I was saying we drive the change.
Yeah.
We will, once we're a group of us, we have the clients, the client base, the volume. And I know that we can have other opportunities show up based on, you know, coming together.
I think so, too. I think, you know, when the 3% thing went away, I was like, well, do we do things? I mean, because there's transportation, there's, like you said, airline. I mean, there's other opportunities out there, but sometimes we get so focused on the rooms aspect of it that we forget about some other things that we have hands in there. It's just that we haven't been asking for anything.
Well, and we don't have the context and we don't have the volume to be starting to talk about.
But hey, you would be surprised, just one group. I mean, some if you're doing, say, you know, bus transportation from to and from LAX or whatever,
mm-hmm.
if you don't ask, you won't receive. Right. Because mm-hmm. I know they'll pay you. They'll kick you back 10% on that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's a couple $100 it could be, you know, that you weren't getting before. And that's going to make up for some of that 3% that you're missing. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, those are things that I knew. So when I'm not saying that, oh, I'm just rolling the dough, because that definitely is not it. But I knew that once they cut that back, I mean, there was other opportunities. It's just that, you know, we just have to ask the extra question. But I was asking that extra question anyway, because not that I knew that it was coming, but why not try to make some more money if
right.
they say, hey, you know, I mean, you go to some of these events and there's transportation companies that are there mm-hmm. and they're, you know, pulling you aside and say, hey, you know, we pay commission too.
I'm right.
Like, really?
Right.
Okay, well, give me your card,
right.
You know, that kind of thing. So,
well, you know, the first thing I want to provide is basically we've been in the hospitality industry. So service is very important.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more of what services can I provide to my client and in the same time be able to have other income, you know, resources for income. I mean, exactly. it's but I want to be able to promote a product that I know that I've had experience with that's going to work.
Yes.
And it's going to work for everybody else. And it, vice versa. Let's just say you are part of Meetings Collective and say, Marie, I just talked to this guy. He wants to do a deal. And we do it for everybody in the group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, that's exactly what that.
I like that.
Okay.
I like that.
Thank you.
I like that.
Thank you.
I like that.
Thanks for asking.
That's what I'm here to ask questions. I mean, well, that's what I do. Well, you know, we're about to wind down here. You know, see, Marie, you thought this thing was going to be forever, and we're like 2 minutes away from winding this thing down. But let me just see if I have, just real quick.
Yeah.
What's the difference between, in like a minute, the difference between international, doing a meeting international is one, versus domestic?
Well, it's a good question. There could be a lot of things depending on the country. There's visas, there's, you know, VAT, and how do you get that back for the companies or organizations?
What's VAT?
It's value-added tax. A lot of countries
European
have
companies
that.
Do that. Countries,
yeah. Yeah, even Mexico. I'm working right now with the group Mexico City, and it's like, how do we make sure that it comes down to 16% VAT? So my clients are staying there two nights. It's $60 back that they get. That's a lot.
Wow.
That's a lot of money.
Yes.
So
is this something they have to pay up front first, or not?
Yes, they have to pay for it. But I you know, got all the paperwork that they needed to have it.
Is that negotiation with the hotel or?
Correct.
With
the hotels, we'll do it in Mexico.
Okay.
Yeah, they'll do it. But you have to provide, you have to ask, and you have to provide the paperwork.
Okay. Now, see, that's something Russell Hotels didn't know. Because guess what? Russell Hotels doesn't do business, has not done business to this point in another country, Mexico included. So. See, so guess who my resource is going to be when I have questions?
Please. Right?
That's who I'm going to call. I'm going to call Marie and say, hey, I have this, you know, international group or whatever. What do I do? So, I mean, that's what it's about. Meetings Collective is about collaboration.
Correct.
Right? So it's about independent planners getting together to fight the big evil force of all these other hotel companies.
We're not fighting. We are out for ourselves. That's basically what it
is. I got you.
How do we take care of ourselves?
All right. Well, thank you so much, Marie. I do appreciate you coming on
the show.
Thank
you, Russell.
Thank you for your time.
Thanks for asking.
Thank you for your expertise. And you guys look up, check out Meetings Collective and see what it's about. Any questions at all, you contact Marie. And what I'm going to do on the show notes or whatever, the description, the show description, I'm going to put that, all Marie's information, all her contact information, company, phone number, email, and stuff like that. So
thank you.
So we don't forget about that. So, but once again, thank you so much for joining On Air with Russell Hotels. Thank you to the Facebook Live people as well and everyone else that listens. It's a beautiful day in Southern California. Just wanted you guys to know that. I didn't mention that earlier, but I think it's about 70 degrees. But I did hear that the weather's going to change soon. So I don't know what the heck that means, but that's what I heard today. So anyway, you guys take care. Thank you again for joining us, and have a great week.
Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. as we talk to other hospitality